I don't know what hit me, but it hit me pretty good. And I think it's still hitting me, so keep praying. I'm still on the mountain. I don't know where we're at. Still trying to climb. Climbing up there. We're looking at the resurrection of Lazarus in John chapter 11. The whole Bible, Jesus Christ, is about the resurrection. Some people get all excited about Christmas. I do too. But the resurrection is the kingpin to it all. If we didn't have a resurrection, we wouldn't have a Savior. We wouldn't have a salvation. But thank God we have Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead, and he proved his resurrection by resurrecting Lazarus from the dead. And one of the shortest verses there tells us in verse 35 that Jesus wept. Jesus wept. And when he wept, the Jews said, "Behold, how he loved him." We fail to show our love sometimes, and sometimes funerals, they don't want people to cry, get it over, shut the casket, get out of here. We need to show our emotions for sorrow, for sadness, for others, and that we care about people. We really need to show people we care about them, because people are dying everywhere. People are hurting everywhere. People need Jesus everywhere. Amen? This is about Jesus Christ. I think it's one verse, only one verse in the Bible has anything to say about Easter. That is Acts, actually uses the word, Acts chapter 24, verse 4. And when he had apprehended him, that was Peter, and the rotten rulers got him. He put him in prison and delivered him to four quadrants of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people, make a show, and ensure killing. And we know that 50 days after Easter is when Pentecost was. That's when they had the big revival. We need another revival. We don't need another Pentecost. The Pentecost has already come. Jesus' birthday has already come. Jesus' resurrection has already come. What we need to do is get what God gave us and let God use us for his honor and his glory. We need to pray for the old time power. We need to pray for the grace of God. We need to pray for our life to be moved. We pray that, like the little boy said to his grandmother, he said, "Grandma, is Grandpa a Christian?" She said, "Well, he says he is." He says, "Is a mule a Christian?" She said, "No, mule's not a Christian." He said, "Well, they both look alike. I just wondered." So sometimes we get to thinking about people. Are they Christian? You wouldn't know it by the look on their face, would you? You'd think we're the saddest people in the world. So think about the first man that God made. That was made him out of dirt. There wasn't nothing. The Bible says that he took dust and made the first man. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So that was Jesus, or God, taking the dirt of the ground. And you know, men sometimes wonder, why is my wife any better? Well, God didn't have much to make woman with. The only thing he had to make her was, "I made her out of man." Right? So whatever's wrong with the woman come from the man. Some of you guys aren't responding, but it's true. You know, you came from the woman. That's where God got man. God made man, and then the woman that you got, she came from man. Excuse me for misquoting there. But the Bible is about resurrection. You need to understand that. Everything in the Bible hinges on that. Jesus resurrected himself. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 6, it says, "And he's not here, for he's risen. As he said, come see the place where he lay." They went and looked in that tomb. We heard Woody reading about it this morning. Looked in that tomb. Wasn't nothing in there except a napkin and the grave clothes. John and Peter looked in. Where is he? He's gone. I've been there to what they believe is a tomb. Pretty sure it is. He's not there. Up from the grave he arose, we sang this morning. He's alive forevermore. He's not dead in some tomb. I think they've moved him now, but for a long time they had the communist leader in a glass cage in Russia, right? Laying there dead. You could walk by and see him laying there dead. Now, see, if you go all over the Eastern world, you'll see the big fat guy. Maybe I shouldn't say that, but he's the guy that the Buddhists, they all go after him. You go up and say, "Mr. Buddha, I want some money." He won't say a thing. Say, "Mr. Buddha, I need some food." Mr. Buddha, he don't say anything. Because Buddha is nothing. And Hare Krishna and all those false gods do nothing, know nothing. But Jesus is not dead. He's alive. He's in heaven. He walks this earth. He walks in your heart. He lives in my heart. You know him as Savior. We'll talk about that in a minute. But man was made out of dirt to start with. He had to be remade, and we'll talk about that. Jesus resurrected himself. When they looked in there, they saw that napkin folded. And when they saw that, they were both Jews. They knew something, and the Bible says they believed. It was customary, if you were of the Jewish custom, if you would go to a restaurant and if you had to get up or something, that you would lay the napkin down on your plate. If you were coming back, you folded it and laid it beside your plate. When they looked in that tomb, they saw the napkin folded and laid by the plate. John said, "Oh, I get it. He's coming back." Peter said, "Oh, I get it. He's coming back. I got news for you. He's coming back. Everything in the Bible tells us he's coming back." We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Praise God. He lives. He lives within my heart. Come see the place where he lay. That's what they said. The Bible is written as a record of the resurrection. In John chapter 21, verse 25, it says this, And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they were written, everyone, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. John said there's so much written about him and all that he did and the resurrection, the life of Christ. If we wrote them every one down, there wouldn't be enough books in all the library in all the world to put them down. Do you know there's more of these books sold every year than any book in the world? Did you know that? They can't stop this book. There was a man called Voltaire, the atheist, in Europe. He decided that he was going to stop the selling of these Bibles. And his plan was he'd buy them up, and then he'd build a fire and burn them. And he could buy them for $3 a copy and burn them. Well, there was another man was buying them and selling them for $1 a copy. He was making them three times as fast as this guy was burning them. There isn't an anvil. There isn't a fire big enough. There isn't an enemy big enough to stop him. The Bible says in Psalms, the Lord gave the word, and great was the company that published it. Our job is to publish the Word of God. The Bible is the record, written record of the resurrection. All those things he did. The next thing we see is the Holy Spirit is part of the resurrection. When Jesus was dying on the cross and God turned his face, when he hung your sins, my sins, on that cross, and God was allowing him to be beat and bruised and beat and take our sins. And Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Our sins were put up on him, and he took them all. The Holy Spirit was there. We know it bears record too. We know the Holy Spirit had part in the resurrection and the making of man the first time. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, the Bible says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. It was the Spirit of God and the power of God, the Holy Spirit, that moved that body, and it became alive. And as soon as he was in the tomb, he was alive. He was alive 3 days and three nights. And the Bible tells us in the book of Peter that he went down into Hades and that he preached the gospel to them. I believe the written record of God. You say, how do you know that's true? Because God said it's true. I believe whatever God says. God says it is true. And the Holy Spirit, when it moved, in verse 3 it says, and he said, let there be light, and there was light, like that. God didn't have to go in to the laboratory, the science lab, and find this chemical and that chemical and a bolt and a light and make a light. No. The Holy Spirit simply said, let there be light. Man brings sin and darkness to this world. Man brings sin and darkness to his life. We got more darkness than we know what to do with. Darkness is all around us. Darkness is destroying us. Darkness is killing us. But God said, let there be light. And there was light, the Holy Spirit. Every soul that has ever been born again. If you're born again this morning, raise your hand. Guess what? The Holy Spirit did that. Every soul that's been born again has been born a part of the resurrection. Jesus was talking to Nicodemus in the third chapter of John. Nicodemus knew a lot. He was a smart man. He was part of the Sanhedrin court. He had great mind, but he didn't know the simple truth of salvation. And he saw the things that were happening that Jesus was doing. And so he came to Jesus, and he started asking all these questions. We're glad to see our kids again. Did a great job, didn't they? When they ask questions, we need to answer them. We need to answer them. We need to listen to our children. We need to listen to anybody who wants to ask questions. But Nicodemus asked Jesus, he said, how can this be? How can, and Jesus told him he had to be born again. He said, how can that be? How can a man go into his mother's womb the second time? What are you talking about? I never heard of anything so crazy. How could that possibly be? Jesus said this in verse 8. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell when it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So if you were saved, you were born again, the Spirit of God got into your heart and quickened in your life and your life. You see, the next time will be a new body to go with that Spirit. Don't that make you happy? Don't that make you happy to know you're stuck with that ugly looking face that you got? I am. Aren't you happy when you try to pick up or carry up what you used to and can't quite do it? One of these days you'll have a new body. Completely new. We just got the motor. That's all we got. This far. We're going to have a greater part. That's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14. There's a greater part of the resurrection yet to come. Jesus got a new body. You know, Jesus was sad and wept for the family because he cared for them. Many reasons why he wept at Lazarus' tomb. He was sorry for his hurting, for their hurting. But other authors would agree with me that he, most of all, was sad to have to bring him back into that old rotten body and live a little bit longer. Don't you imagine Nicodemus was saying, no, I've seen it. I've seen heaven. I've seen God. I've seen it all. I don't want to go back. I don't want to get back in that grave and lay down. I don't want to lay there in that old rotten body. I don't want to be a part of that worldly crowd. I want to go with Jesus. Don't you imagine? Don't you imagine? Well, whether you like that or not, that's what's going to happen. The resurrection. 1 Thessalonians 4:14. For if we believe, you said you believe, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Every Christian that has died, when Jesus comes back, is coming with him. Said he's bringing him with him. Be a shout. Some of the Baptists are going to do something they've never done in church, never done since they got saved. And that's shout! Shout! Praise God! Never did it before. Well, we don't do that. We never did that before. We never did that before. But we're going to do it then. And he says, verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain coming shall not prevent them which are asleep. Well, the ones that died went with him. The ones that saved are here. There's going to be a connecting going on. And it's going to be faster than the speed of light. As a matter of fact, it's going to be faster than a Mach 1 Ford. It'll outdrag a Ford. I tell you, it will. It will, honey. You get ready. You ain't seen nothing yet. It's faster than anything you got, faster than anything you ever seen. He says, those that are laying in the grave, their bodies will come forward. It'll be changed in a twinkling of an eye. And they'll be united with the new body. And these which are alive, they'll be changed. And we'll all be with Jesus. Amen. We'll all be with Jesus Christ. Every one of us. Oh, that will be glory. That will be glory. Up from the grave he arose. With a mighty triumph over his foes. One guy was listening to the preacher preach intently on the second coming of Christ. And he said, now this is not the time when Jesus comes and mounts on Mount Olive and destroys his enemies. So after church, the man was very patient. And he went up to the preacher and he said, Pastor, he said, does that mean the second coming of Christ is twofold? Once for his church and once to do a war with his enemies? He said, that's exactly what it means. He said, please don't tell my wife. She'll want to dress for each occasion. Then he said, verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. May I say it again? The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Somebody said, why did they get to get raised before we do? They got 6 feet further to come. I mean, I just have simple answers. I'm just a simple man. You know, I'm not all that brilliant about things, but that's easy to figure out. We were putting a guy in the grave, and this guy was really trying to show off his work. And he said to the family, now, we're sealing it up, and nothing will open it up. Nothing can get it open. I turned him around, and I said, wait a minute, sir. I got news for you. One of these days, God's going to open that up. Well, where do you get that? Out of the B-I-B-L-E, amen? Well, that's just a Christian, though, right? No. He's going to open up the old dead stinking grave of the old dead stinking body that are lost and unite them, those souls that are crying in hell this morning. He's going to unite them with their body and send them out to the judgment. Think about it, beloved. Think about it, dear one. Think about your friends. While you got a chance, get them in before it's too late. Then he said, verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. Wow. I'm not sitting on this side of church because she's sitting on this side of church. Don't you think it's funny? Don't you really think it's funny, honestly? I'm not going in that church because so-and-so goes there. Don't you think it's funny? Don't you think it's ridiculous? Wow. We'll be changed. There's a song, isn't it? We'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye. We'll be changed. We're not only going to be changed the ugly mug, we're going to be changed the ugly heart. Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be good. Everything. The great getting up day. He says, we'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Ever to be with Him. Verse over there says, the Lord will be with us till the end of the world. Somebody said, why would He be with us then after that? Because we'll be with Him. It's not hard, is it? He's going to be with me to the end of the world, then when the world ends, where am I going to be? Well, you're going to be with God. You're going to be with God. Little girl was in Sunday school class. They was talking about Methuselah, right? He's the one who walked with God. Is that the one who walked with God? They said, what'd you learn about? He said, I learned about the man Methuselah. Is it Methuselah? Huh? Who is it? It was. You're glad you found out. You know why he was called Enoch? Because Enoch. And that Jesus in his heart. He went home and said, what did you learn about today? He said, I learned about Enoch. He said, what about Enoch? He said, well, Enoch liked to take long walks with God. And one day, they were taking a long walk, and God said to Enoch, said, Enoch, we're closer to my house than we are yours. Why don't you come go home with me? Isn't that wonderful? A child. Little boy came home. His granddad said, what'd you learn? He said, I learned that they got a cross-eyed bear down there at that church. He said, how you got a cross-eyed bear? He said, that's what they were singing. The cross-eyed bear. The old cross-eyed bear. Some people never get rid of the cross-eyed bear. Some people are the cross-eyed bear. Hey, look at verse 18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. May I describe it to you today? We got a hell on earth, folks. We got a hell on earth. It's a bad place. I feel so sorry for our kids. That one day they're in school, one day they're out, someday they're going, someday they're not. They ought to take every congressman, every senator, and wring their neck. Yes, I said it, and yes, I mean it. Treat our children like that. How in the world do we expect them to know anything, learn anything, be anything, when we treat them like animals? One day you're in, one day you're out. This world needs comfort. And brother, sister, this is the only comfort this world's got. This is a comfort. This is the only comfort. There's no other comforter. You want to learn a little more culture history? You know that little thing with a rubber nipple and a round ring that mama gives baby? What do you call that? What do you call it, ladies? Pacifier. You know what they call it in England? A comforter. I forget who it was, but there was a preacher on a mission trip. The reason I know this story about the comforter and the pacifier, he was in England. And they said, everybody got down, help me find it. They were looking for it. And they had to got down on their knees, and they were looking under the couch, and looking around, looking everywhere. And somebody next to him, he said, what are we looking for? They said, we're looking for the comforter. He said, it's up on the bed. They said, no. That's not the comforter. He said, at my house it is. You know, you gotta know your limitations. You gotta know where you are. Amen. Aren't you glad you came to church this morning? Was the breakfast good enough for you? Yeah. God bless you. We need to spend another year getting people saved. They told me this time I really had to cope it. I think I really did. I don't think I had it the last time. I think it just went over and said, boo. This time it said, buddy, we're going to give you a whipping, and they give me one. I think it's still hanging on. But that's all right. That's all right. I'm in God's care. I'm in God's hands. I'm in God's love. I'm in the sweet Spirit of God. God is stronger. God is bigger than any problem I've got. Is there anything too hard for God? Nope, nothing too hard for God. Nothing too hard. Two immutable things. One, God can't lie. And God says, and God tells me every day, I love you, John. I love you, Jesus. I love you. And if it don't get any worse, and you don't tell me not to, I'm going to be back here Wednesday night. We got to keep moving for God, don't we? We got to keep moving. God is blessing this church. We gotta get behind the plow and let her go. No man putting his hand to the plow looks back. You know what happens when you look back? Maybe some of you people don't know what a fir is. Ed does. Your fir, make furs, plant stuff in, hold the plow. Well, when you look back, John, look how crooked the fur is. Yeah, Dad, but I can get a lot more in the fur. You people are no fun. We might as well go home. I was raised on the farm, sorry. Don't worry about the mule. Just load the wagon. You think a mule can haul all that? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Our God's greater than any problem we got. Last time we're going to sing a closing hymn. Did I tell you we're not having church here this evening? Somebody said, who decided that? Hey, I'm not the only one, am I? Okay, thank you. God bless you. God loves you. We're going to sing what? 185. Sing nice and loud. Is there anything up there to do, Carl? Is Carl here? Are we done up there? No, we have to clean up. We got stuff to do?
Yeah, we have to clean up.
Okay. So get your duds on to help. All right. Did you ever tell a lie? You tell a big one or a little one or both? Jesus paid it all. Paid it all. You know that person that you're mad at? And they don't have any right to be mad at you? Jesus paid it all. He paid it all. His love is so deep, there isn't a person here in this world anywhere that it will not touch and cleanse. Sing the next verse.
Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus made it whole, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
Last verse in just a moment, but if you have anything, big, little, that you wish you'd take care of when you stand before Jesus, do it now. Do it now. The altar's open. We're going to sing that last verse. Because one of these days, we're all going to go. We may go one at a time, we may go all the time. We don't know when. If you got anything you wish you'd have done, make sure you do it. Sing the last verse, please.
And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus made it all to him I owe.
Amen. When I was young, preacher, I loved to hear the comments. Oh, that was a good sermon. As I got older, I realized, you don't want to hear that? Don't listen to that, John. Don't listen to that. But I did get one that I have a hard time getting off my mind. A guy way down Bedford County. He said John Hodge would attack Hale with a water pistol. And I'm telling you, I thought, if that's all I had, if that's all I got to fight Hale and the devil with, I'll do it. People say to me, there's a guy, I had a kid in school, he graduated from the military academy, United States Army Military Academy. And he's getting out, and he taught military guys, and he's going to settle down somewhere. And he said, I want us to get together. I saw your name on the signboard. Somebody said, don't put his name on the signboard. Yeah, put it out there. They say bad things about me too, but that's all right. I don't care. I don't care. Jesus hears him, right? Jesus knows me. We got to get people saved. We got to get people in heaven before it's too late. You believe that? How about saying a prayer if you believe that?